Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Today, I have the honor of speaking with two gubernatorial candidates for the state of Maine. The first is Mary Mayhew, Republican candidate for governor. And second, I'll be speaking with Mark Eaves, Democratic candidate for governor. Both have graciously taken some time out of their busy schedules to be with us today. I am truly looking forward to discussing their vision for the next 4 years. This interview is designed to be a positive conversation with a focus on issues and concerns that business leaders, HR professionals, and employees care about today. I have some questions that not only I have created, but I've also asked business leaders and show listeners over the past week. First, today, we're going to be talking with Mary Mayhew. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Yes, it's awesome. Republican candidate for governor.
Yes, out pounding the pavement all over this state. Well, and some dirt roads, too, I think.
Oh, yeah. No question. Yeah. You're in Maine. So why are you running for governor?
You know, because I am determined to protect the ground that we have gained over the last 7 years as part of the LePage administration. We've really taken our state back to get it on the right pathway to promote economic prosperity for individuals, for families, to support small businesses and large businesses, being able to invest in this state. You know, there are a lot of folks who are tired of sending more money to Augusta, watching the spending of taxpayer money in Augusta like it was water. You know, we've really changed things in our state because we believe in Maine's economic future. But I'm worried that in the blink of an eye, all of that could be undone. So I'm running for governor not only to protect what we've done, but to continue to move our great state forward.
I think it's fair to say that Maine's economy has certainly improved over the last 4 years. Job growth has been strong. Unemployment is at 2.7%. Tax revenue is also strong, especially on the business side. And Maine's consumer confidence is nearing a high. Should we change course, and in what directions should we be doing that in?
The statistics that you just outlined are evidence of what happens when you put common sense, fiscal discipline in place. You're prepared to make the tough decisions to prioritize limited resources in government, to stand tall, which is what I did as DHHS commissioner. You know, you can't be all things to all people in government. And you recognize that taxpayers and the money that they're earning, that more of that needs to be kept in their pocket. And we are now seeing the positive outcomes through everything you just outlined. You know, unfortunately, memories run short in this state. So we've forgotten the fact that it was just a few short years ago where the state had been reeling from one financial crisis to the next, $100 million, $200 million shortfall, over $1 billion structural gap, the rainy day fund completely depleted. And today, we haven't had a shortfall in our state in over 4 years. The structural gap has been substantially reduced, and we've got over $200 million in the state's rainy day fund. Where do I want to go from here? I want to eliminate the personal income tax. And I know it is possible to do that because of what I saw for waste in government. There is still so much more opportunity to cut spending. We've got a $140 million state surplus right now that could be returned to the taxpayers in the form of a dramatic reduction in our state personal income tax.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour. And today we're speaking with Mary Mayhew, Republican candidate for governor. I'm your host, David Chulo. Companies must compete today. Whether real or perceived, the shortage of tech-savvy people have affected the ways companies do business. This is a hiring challenge for many in the state. Some say the reason is that there is a skills gap that exists with the current older workforce, a very large workforce here in Maine. Do you agree that there's actually a skills gap issue? And what do you plan to do over the next 4 years if elected to deal with it?
Well, let me start by saying I don't believe that this is entirely a skills gap, and it is not a crisis that is unique to Maine. This is a national crisis, and I lay this at the feet of 30, 40 years of bad policy that discouraged work. We can't lose sight of the fact that we have had far too many welfare programs, disability policies that have discouraged work, that have destroyed human dignity, and have detracted from and undermined our work ethic in this state and in this country. What I have already done, having served as the commissioner of DHHS, was to put work requirements back into our welfare programs. We have petitioned the federal government to put it into the Medicaid program for able-bodied adults, not the elderly, not children, not people with disabilities. But here's what I know. When I have spoken to employers around the state, what I often hear is they need employees who can show up on time, drug-free, and stay to the end of the day and come back the next. Now, that's not a skills gap. What I have also heard from employers is just get them to me. We will do the training. So you have many employers who are investing in their own training programs. Now, I want to be clear. That's not to say that we don't have a shortage in skills, jobs. We know that today you cannot find welders, machinists, electricians, plumbers, diesel hydraulics, you name it. Those are areas where we have got to support and invest. And you asked, what would I do as governor? I would start tying strings to the funding going to our schools to make sure that they are promoting and incentivizing and valuing the vocational training programs, the career technical. And we know today that there is an attitude, almost an elitist attitude, in our schools, in our high schools, that look down upon those career pathways. I was at a event last night for my senior who's about to graduate, and there was an acknowledgement of the kids in career technical, but nowhere near the kind of acknowledgement that really appreciates these are good paying jobs, and we've got to do more to support those pathways.
So as a follow-up to that, one of the challenges we're hearing is that, as you said, there just aren't enough people in the state of Maine. And the reality is that the population in the state of Maine continues to be at or declining slightly in terms of the overall numbers. What can we do in the short term? Because you're talking long-term, partnering with the schools, getting better. I understand all that. But there are places not opening this summer because they can't find enough people. How do we solve that in the short term, well, in 2019, first year in?
Yep, but let's be clear. When we put work requirements back in place in the food stamps, that produced an immediate turnaround in people going back to work. Our enrollment for that population dropped in a short period of time, and I'm talking months, dropped by 90%. And people went back to work. We tracked their wages through the Department of Labor, and their wages increased by over 114%. We know that when you incentivize work, same thing in cash welfare, the temporary assistance for needy families, we have created, because I privatized that program, a sense of urgency to help people, not to be punitive, but to recognize that the best pathway out of poverty is a job. I'm telling you, there are still people who are in this state who have checked out of the workforce but are able-bodied and capable of work. We have to keep our foot on the gas pedal to get those individuals re-engaged in the workforce. But here's the other thing. We're still driving people out of the state, right? Our tax burden is still the second highest in the country. So we are driving young retirees out of this state because their accountants are saying to them, move where there's no income tax. And this isn't just about climate. You can move across the border to New Hampshire and immediately have more money in your pockets.
Yes.
But we're also losing our young because they see opportunities elsewhere and they see a friendlier tax environment where they can have more money that they are in charge of how they spend it. We need to get rid of the personal income tax, and we need to do it urgently if we are going to stop the exodus out of our state. And here's the third aspect of this. There's been a defeatist attitude in this state for far too long, an attitude of Maine's always been a poor state. It's going to be a poor state, so let's just grow government. Well, that has been so damaging to our economic future. And in 7 short years during the LePage administration, we've taken that back and we have promoted a much brighter economic future. And we've demonstrated what is possible when you lead with your conservative principles and you stand tall up against the fierce emotional opposition. So I'm confident in a short period of time, we can absolutely grow Maine's economy and address these critical workforce challenges.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour. And today we're speaking with Mary Mayhew, Republican candidate for governor. I'm your host, David Chulo. The voters of the state of Maine voted to continue to increase its minimum wage every year for the next few years. It's currently $10 an hour, and some say it's certainly not enough and it should go even as high as $15 or even $20 an hour. What is your position on the minimum wage versus living wage, and how do you see your administration dealing with it statewide if elected?
Your listeners can't see me just constantly shaking my head back and forth. No. First, let me start with I don't think government should be dictating wages, period. You know, government has nothing to win or gain or lose inserting itself into that economic equation. It's the lack of understanding of basic economics by those who have been proposing and promoting the minimum wage is absolutely infuriating. I went into a small grocery store on the coast, family run, and the gentleman said to me, look, this is adding $30,000 in additional costs to my business. I can't increase the prices of my groceries on the shelves. He said, I'm eliminating a job, and my wife and I will pick up more hours. That is happening across the board. Jobs are being eliminated. And we don't have to look too far. You can look to the state of New York or go to an airport and tell me how often now you go to a restaurant and you've got an iPad. You're not talking to a human being and engaging in that direct relationship with wait staff. I am adamantly opposed to the minimum wage. And as governor, that's the great thing about being governor. You have the microphone and you can lead. And I will oppose efforts to certainly to increase it, but I will lead the charge to repeal it.
Employees are now concerned with the impending recreational legalization of marijuana in the state of Maine, especially with the opioid epidemic. This is a violation of federal law, and many employers are very concerned. What is your position on this topic?
I am adamantly opposed to the legalization of marijuana. I had to oversee the medical marijuana program and all of the problems associated with that. As commissioner, I also received the reports from emergency departments when a 3-year-old ingested gummy bears laced with marijuana. I do not know how we spend all this time and energy, rightfully so, worried about and trying to address the opioid epidemic and then turn around and legalize another drug. And you are right. Employers are panicked about what this is doing to their workforce. I was at a landscaping company the other day. Gentleman says to me, I've got people showing up who are driving large trucks and they're coming in and they're stoned. They're stoned. Or you've got employers who have to attest to the federal government about safety and security on their lines, and yet they've got people showing up to work stoned. This is insane. I'm already concerned about the challenges we face with undermining our work ethic. The last thing we need to be doing is having this drug out there, making that much worse. So I would lead the charge once again to repeal it. And you also pointed out, too, it's not legal federally. So here we have this cash-based structure. People can't put the money in the banks. So we know it's absolutely leading to criminal activity.
How do we solve the real issue of graduates leaving the state? You mentioned the fact that they're leaving the state due to the reality or perception of either of a lack of great job opportunities or a lack of good, high-paying jobs. And what can we really do to address the issue? And I'll give you a quick example. As you know, in our business, from a hiring perspective, we bring people into state all the time to work in positions here in Maine. And if you look at the fact that the cost of living, especially in the Portland market, because that's predominantly where the larger organizations are, is very similar to Boston on the outside, but the income level is certainly not even close. So how do we address that whole issue of keeping our best and brightest here, as well as understanding that it is a different way of life compared to some of the other places across the country?
Yes, but the bottom line is Maine is a fantastic state. When I have said to people outside of this state that I'm from Maine, their faces light up, right? Just what they think about in terms of Maine is incredibly positive. That has to be married with real economic opportunity. This is a great place to live. It's a great place to raise your family. But it won't be. It's challenging today with a 7% income tax. We've got a ballot initiative this November that would take that over 10%. You know, you talk about competing with Boston. We used to refer to Massachusetts as Taxachusetts. That's simply not the case anymore. We are far higher than the state of Massachusetts. And of course, right next door with New Hampshire, with no income tax, their per capita income is $74,000. Mm-hmm. Ours is $44,000. This isn't rocket science. It isn't that Maine has some significant deficit that prevents it from competing. It is policy and an insatiable appetite that has existed for far too long in Augusta to spend money. For our kids to stay here, they got to be able to keep more money in their pockets and to have good paying jobs for them. Businesses have to feel confident that they can actually invest capital and keep jobs and grow jobs. But many of the employers that I've spoken to don't feel valued, appreciated, respected. They're just waiting for the next nail in their coffin to come their way from Augusta, another tax increase, another regulation. So they've got to know that this is really a business-friendly environment. And then we will have all elements of success, from an amazing state that people love, an environment that's great to raise families, and then a business-friendly environment that will provide those great opportunities and good-paying jobs.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour. Our guest today is Mary Mayhew, Republican candidate for governor, and I'm your host, David Chulo. Another one of the issues that employers say is a huge concern and a major factor in hiring is the uncertainty of when it comes to health care costs. Costs are going up. If moved, for example, my company, New Hampshire, I actually did the math between the same plan in New Hampshire and Maine. It'd be 30% less for the exact same thing if I just went across the border. How do we deal with this issue? And also, do you agree with the plans that allow over state line and or association plans? And how do you plan to address that in your next 4 years?
Well, you know, we start with the problem that Maine had been, frankly, on the path of addressing the concerns in Maine's health insurance market by deregulating, by creating an invisible risk pool that was seeing a dramatic reduction in the individual and small group premiums. And then came Obamacare. So we need to, you know, be crystal clear, make no mistake about it. This is a federal government disaster. This is a one-size-fits-all approach to regulating health insurance that has absolutely driven health insurance premiums through the roof. It is a public policy that is promoting putting able-bodied 25-year-olds onto Medicaid at the direct expense of taxpayers and those who are paying premiums. We have got to lead the charge at the federal level to promote repeal. And then, and this is what I know is happening today, the Trump administration, thankfully, has been looking at ways to change federal regulations without having to go through Congress that will give states more flexibility to promote association-based plans. And to the extent that that allows for some cross-border, I am completely in favor of it. Look, at the end of the day, we need to do anything and everything to promote affordable health insurance, still with all the same protections, but options, right? If I'm 22 years old, I don't need all the bells and whistles on a health insurance product. And if I am a 61-year-old female, I probably don't need maternity coverage. So let's figure out a way to provide options and more affordable health insurance premiums. And here's what I'm concerned about. They want, those who promoted Obamacare, those who are promoting Medicaid expansion, they want to see the full collapse of the private market, because they know people will have a knee-jerk reaction thinking we've got to run into the arms of government. But I don't feel strongly about that at
all. You're not clear at all. Infrastructure is a big issue in Maine.
Yes.
People say, of course, there's two Maines, north and south. It not only includes roads, bridges, rail, it really includes broadband as well. And that, of course, is a tool of business. How do we deal with that issue in a rapid way, considering the challenges that the state faces?
Well, now that I have driven 38,000 miles over the last year, I can certainly speak about the quality of roads throughout the state and the lack of cell phone service throughout the state, although that is just as bad down here in southern Maine as it is in rural parts of the state. But infrastructure is key, and it has been ignored. The governor has made great progress on this front, but I have been disappointed for years at the way that the highway fund is often treated. It's almost this last minute decision making. It is not looked at in the totality of the entire budget and the setting of priorities. Today, we have a $150 million shortfall just in maintaining our roads and bridges. Does not include any efforts to build new roads, to look at opportunities to really invest in Maine's economy, because we know that people need good roads to get to their jobs. Businesses need great roads to get their products transported in state and out of state. But yet that has not been a critical part of the priority setting for far too long. So we've got to address it. And then we've got to really fully appreciate the multiplier effect, the return on investment from our prioritization of infrastructure.
A topic I'm sure you're not going to want to talk about at all, which is let's discuss the issue of Maine state income tax and employers' taxes. I'm certainly not aware of any business owner who says, hey, please let me pay more. The reality is that at the bottom line, this is a factor when businesses expand and businesses want to hire. What do you plan to do going forward in those areas?
The personal income tax needs to be eliminated. The corporate tax needs to be reduced. There is still the size of Maine's government has grown far too large. When you think about it, Maine's population hasn't changed that much in 20 years, and yet our government has grown exponentially. And that growth comes at the direct expense of our economy, of the opportunity to have successful businesses, not only those that are able to grow here in Maine, but those that want to locate here in Maine. It comes at the direct expense of families who are trying to support themselves, to raise their kids, to stay in their communities. So we need to just take seriously the impact that this insatiable appetite to grow government, what it has done to our prospects of growing Maine's economy. Businesses need to be able to invest private capital without the fear that they're going to turn around and have some tax. And this isn't just about wealthy businesses. This is businesses of all sizes. And I, you know, throughout the state, I've looked at these businesses that are still here, still hanging in. And I think, my goodness, if we just got government out of the way and out of their pockets.
Well, majority of family-owned businesses
exactly.
Are in Maine, right? I mean, that's just a fact.
I toured Lincoln County News. It is one of the last standing family-owned weekly newspapers that print their own newspaper. And I toured their print shop, and it was the grandfather, the father, the son, all there. And they were talking about the need to buy new equipment. And yet, when that 3% tax on $200,000 gross income, that was going to stand directly in their way of investing in new printing equipment. And that would not be a business that we would say is some fabulously wealthy business.
Mary, we have one last question for you. And again, I really appreciate you taking the time today to come on the air and talk to the HR professionals and business leaders here in the state. Why should employers or even employees in the state of Maine vote for you?
Because I am the best hope for not only protecting the legacy of Paula Page and the great work that we've done to get our financial house in order, to put common sense at the front of our decision making, and to respect the taxpayer and to focus on the core mission of government. But I am the best prepared to lead this state forward. I know the questions that need to be asked. I know what it feels like to go up against the entrenched bureaucracies and those who want to protect status quo at the expense of businesses and taxpayers. So I am ready to hit the ground running. I am battle-tested with proven results, and I am prepared to lead our great state forward.
Mary, I appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you so much. This was great. My pleasure.
Hi, I'm Kelly Flagg, General Manager of the Body Architect Fitness Center in Portland, Maine. I want to personally invite you to come meet us. If you've been considering joining a gym but haven't yet because you're a little nervous or just plain old don't like the gym, come see us. We have created a 30-day personal training experience just for you. Meet our trainers, try a few workouts, and use our facility for 30 days for just $79. Call 774-2196 or visit thebodyarchitect.com today.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. And now let's welcome Mark Eaves, gubernatorial candidate for the state of Maine, Democratic Party. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, David. It's great to be on. I appreciate the opportunity.
You know, I guess the first basic question that I like to ask all the candidates is, why are you running for governor?
Sure. Well, I'm running for governor really the same reason I chose to go into the profession of helping people. I chose to go to the profession of marriage and family therapy, and I worked with a lot of families living in deep poverty, struggling, and led me to run for public office 10 years ago. I served in the state legislature for 8 years, 2008 to 2016. Four of those, I was fortunate to be elected by my peers as Speaker of the House. And I think we have a ton of opportunity in our state with the right leadership. I've had a front row seat to a lot of that opportunity passing us by, and want to get back and pick up where I left off and continue to do good work for the state. I just believe in my heart that there's so much that we can do. And I got three young kids. They're 13, 11, and 8, and I want them to be able to find their future right here in the state. So those are a couple reasons why I'm running.
Okay, that's great. Well, the second question is pretty simple. I think it's fair to say that Maine's economy has certainly improved over the last 4 years. Jobs growth has been strong. Unemployment is at 2.7%. Tax revenue is also strong, especially on the business side. Consumer confidence is nearing a high. Should we change course in what we are doing, and why?
You know, I think one of the indicators that wasn't referenced that we really need to take a hard look at is that the wages are still low. People still aren't able to pay their bills, put a little bit of money away for vacation and college and retirement. So I think that we need to focus on increasing wages, and that's where we need to change course. We've got a plan that is a regional, statewide, but regional jobs plan that really focuses on partnerships with businesses and industries and how state government can be a partner in either developing new workforce training programs that meet a real need that will increase wages or additional training. But being a partner with business and industry, I think, is an important part of how state government can help people take more home in their paycheck.
Tell me a little bit more about that plan.
Sure. Well, it's really based on a couple projects that I worked on when I was in the State House. The first was a logging training program that I went up to Fort Kent probably 3 years ago in the dead of winter and met with about 30 different logging contractors who had all identified a real need for their business, and that was a workforce training program that prepared students to go into the profession. And logging's changed a lot over the last several decades. Now you're operating million-dollar pieces of equipment, and there is no training program. So we partnered with the Professional Logging Contractors of Maine. Caterpillar donated, put in $1 million worth of private capital to start the program. The state put in some money. And now that program is rotating between three community colleges in the northern part of the state, and Northern Maine Community College, East